Amen. The King is coming. That's the good news, isn't it? The King is coming. Well, I was out with some of the guys this week celebrating a birthday. I tear up my Bibles that way. That's upside down. Huh? Get on my glasses, I can tell which side is up. And we were riding around having some fun talking, and that's the good news. The King is coming. But I'm reminded, I think I told this before here. Some of you remembered, some of you wouldn't remember it, but I'll tell it again. Good news and bad news. The old farmer comes to the banker and he says, "Banker, I got some bad news." He said, "Remember that money you loaned me on the house last year?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I can't pay it back. I can't pay the interest. I can't do anything, so you won't be getting your money." And the banker said, "You know, that is bad news." And he said, "Well, that's not all of it." He said, "Remember you loaned me the money to buy a new car and a new tractor and the farm equipment?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I don't have the money to pay that, so I'm not going to be able to pay you any principal, any interest, anything on it." He said, "Well, that is bad news." He said, "Well, you know, there's some more bad news." He said, "Remember all the seed that I planted last year and you loaned me money for all the crops?" He said, "Yeah." "Well, I can't pay you back on that either." He said, "Man, that is bad news. You can't pay on your house. You can't pay on your tractors. You can't pay on the seed. Is there any good news?" He said, "Yeah, I've decided to let you be my banker another year." Well, there's some good news and there's some bad news. The King is coming. God has some good news for us. He said, "The King is coming. On that resurrection morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise." Praise God. I'm one of those that are going to rise. Either if I die and in the grave, I'm going to rise. Or if the trumpet sounds and time shall be no more and he calls his saints home, man, I'm going to be one of those that are caught up to meet him in the clouds, because I'm a child of God. Now, God has good news for us. You know, God is a loving God. He weeps over his children. The Bible says Jesus wept. I'm talking about a passage of scripture today that has some good news and bad news. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23 through 30. All of chapter 22 is what I'll be kind of preaching on, but I want to read starting with verse 23. "For the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleaned or cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets is in the midst like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my laws and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." Jesus says over in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 37, Jesus stands before Jerusalem. I can see him standing on the mount, looking down at the city of Jerusalem. And he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent to you. How often would I have gathered you like children of a hen under my wings, and you would not listen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, that you're King, that you sit high on the throne. And Lord, we want to lift you up this morning, for you are worthy to be praised. Lord, you are our God. Lord, we are your children. And Lord, we come to you this morning with our hearts heavy, heavy because of our nation, heavy because of our people, heavy because of the way we treat others. And God, we pray today that you will show us, Lord, what we need to see out of this passage of Scripture. Lord, that we might be one that would stand up for your word and your will and obey that. Heavenly Father, if there's one here this morning in the midst of us who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God, we pray this morning that you will speak to their heart, that they might come to know you this morning. By faith, they might step out and come simply saying, I need Christ as my Lord and Savior. That they might receive Jesus into their heart. Lord, that they might grow in their spiritual way, that they might live according to your will and not the will of the flesh. God, we give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, God has said there's some bad news for the children of Israel. They have sinned against God. How have they sinned? There's all kinds of ways that Jerusalem or Israel had sinned. And God said here in verses 3 through 6, if you go back and look at those passages of Scripture that I talked about in chapter 23 through 6, he says, you have sinned because you have shed the blood of people and idolatry. You have let strange gods come in to your camp, so to speak. And I think of America. Haven't we let strange gods come in today in our lives? Haven't we let strange gods come in today in our churches? He says, you sinned because you treated unjustly the mothers and the fathers and the widows. And I think today in our country how our country is treating families unjustly. How our country is treating children unjustly. He says, you've deserted your Sabbaths. And oh, I think, man, isn't that fit us today? We have deserted the Sabbath day. No longer is the Sabbath day a day to keep holy. It's just a day like all other days in our everyday life. And then he says, there's adultery and fornication in verses 9 through 10. Bribery, usury, and extortion. How that sounds like America today. The good news is that God is still on the throne. Even in all our ways, even in all our sin, even in all the mistreatment of the families and the, our children and our lives, God is still on the throne. And the good news is he's searching for a man or a woman or a boy or girl who will stand up and be counted for God. That's what he's searching for. One man would be enough, he says. Just one. But the sad news is he found none. In all of Israel, he said, I found no one. Wherever he looked, he saw only corruption. Wherever he looked, sin had taken over. Now let me tell you something. God is looking for a man in America. God is looking for someone today who will stand up and be counted for God. He's not looking for a man who will stand up for his benefit, but for the benefit of our nation, for the benefit of the land. That's what he was looking. Let me tell you, God can stand alone. God doesn't need a man to stand up for him. God is all powerful. He needs a man who will stand up for Israel. He needs a man who will stand up for America today. He needs a man who will stand up in our church today and say, listen, I'll be counted for God in our church. Now the Bible says the land was unclean. The land was unblessed. There had been no rain in the land or revival. Rains talk about refreshing. We know how good it is to have rain. We had a long, hot, dry spell last summer. We were on our knees. We were praying for God to send rain. Why? Because rain is refreshing. Rain is refreshing after a long, dry spell. Man, I knew people that just got out in that rain and did like this and let that rain fall on them. Why? Because they were so thankful for the rain, a refreshing time after a long, hot, dry spell. Well, our land is not blessed. Our land is unclean. Our land, the Bible says, had not been rained upon. As a nation, we're so busy with our own time, we have no time for God. We're so busy, we can't come anymore to a Bible conference or a Bible revival in our church. We don't have time for that anymore, do we? Oh, preacher, let's see. Well, yeah, we want a revival in our church, but you know what? I'm going to be gone that week, so that I couldn't come. You know, we want a revival, but we don't want to participate in it. We want everybody else to go through the acts and try to get revival, but in and of ourselves, we want to just stand back and say, okay, I want to get in on the coattail when it happens. The Bible says it's not like that. Now, Jerusalem was unblessed for a long time, and he says it's unclean. And it's been a long time since there was a heaven-sent revival in our land. It's been a long time since revival has just swept through America. You think back in your life, when was the last time that you really saw a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival where people just got on their knees before God and stayed there until they got their lives right, where people came for salvation. They couldn't help themselves. The Holy Spirit was so powerful and so moving in a church that when they opened the doors, people just came. It's been a long time, hasn't it? A long time since a man and a woman wept before God on their knees in prayer. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will become lovers of themselves. Men will become lovers of money. Men will be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Sounds like the last days. Amen. Unthankful, unholy, unloving. Man, sounds like he'd been inside the churches today. Unforgiving. People say, preacher, I want people to forgive, but we're not willing to forgive, are we? Slanders, without self-control, brutal, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than God. And here's the catch. Having a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of God. Folks, that's what's wrong today. He writes in 2 Timothy, this is what it's going to be like in the last days. Could it be the last days we're in right now? It sounds like it by reading God's word. It sounds just like today. If the world came to an end today and it just so could. Today that trumpet sound could happen. Today Christ could come back. Would you be saved? Would you be safe? I talked to three people this week about their relationship with God. Didn't get very far with a little girl. She just said, I'm a Catholic. We said, well, you know, you need to know, would you go to heaven or hell? I'm a Catholic. Talked to two men this week about their relationship. And both said, well, it's been a long time since we've set foot in a church. And I told them, listen, it's not a church. It's the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Our church, the Baptist church, will not get you to heaven, and neither will your church that you go to. It's a relationship. You've got to know Jesus Christ. You've got to invite Him into your heart and life. That's what you've got to do. Well, we don't have that kind of relationship. Folks, we need to have that kind of relationship, that if we know that we know that we know that if Christ came back today, and it could happen at any moment, that when we die, we would go be with Christ. You see, Jesus says today is the day of salvation. So you see, there's a problem in the land, isn't there? There's a problem in Israel. The Bible says it's been a long time since there's been refreshing rain. It's been a long time since the people actually got on their knees before God and worshiped God. Well, it's been a long time in America since we've really seen the power of God move. In our denomination, the Southern Baptist denomination, since the 1970s, we've seen a decline in baptisms. We've seen a decline in church membership. We've seen a decline in a number of churches. We try to start more churches, and we get out and start churches. New church starts are the fastest growing, but as we start new churches, we're losing old churches. They're literally dying on the vine, because here's the problem. If you will, look what in verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. Let me tell you something. The priest and the church, they were religious, but they were lost. The priest, he says, in charge, they have a form of religion, but they have profaned the holy things. There's no difference between the clean and the unclean. They follow after their own wills instead of God's will. That's what was wrong. Inside, the priest of God were unholy. The priests of God were the ones that needed a revival in their life. Let me tell you something. Humanism is sweeping our land today. It doesn't honor God one bit. Humanism only honors man. The Lord's day is a Sabbath day. Means nothing anymore. People could care less about Sunday. It's just another vacation day. Our Sunday is a day. You listen to the television anchors. They'll say something like this. Well, tomorrow's Sunday. It's a good day to relax and rest up for the week. It's a good day just to comfort oneself. But it's a holy day. It's God's Sabbath day. And He said, listen, I want you to remember the Sabbath and what? Keep it holy. It's no day to go out and play golf and relax. It's no day to go out in your boat and fish. It's no day to just sit around the house and mow your yard. No, it's a day where we give praise and honor and thanks to God for the week that He's given us. It's a day to come to church, His church, and worship Him and lift His name up and sing songs of praise and get our spiritual lives in order and get our batteries charged so that we might go out and face Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. See, That's the day we are to set aside, honor the Lord on the seventh day. But in America, let me tell you, and you know this, it doesn't mean that anymore. In America, we can preach the Word of God in our prisons, but you can't preach it in our schools anymore. In America, we can preach the Word of God on the streets, but we have to watch what we say or we'll get arrested. You see, we can open up. I got the privilege of going down to Congress in Austin last year about this time, go down and open up the congressional service with a word of prayer and a scripture reading. But it's not allowed in our schools. Something is wrong with that, isn't it? Something is wrong in America. We have simply tried to remove God from all the public places because that's not politically correct anymore. You're forcing your religion upon them. I got a letter today, yesterday in an email. I guess it's going around to all your emails about, you know, the president. Our president canceled the National Day of Prayer, but he had he said, you know, he didn't want to cause any conflict with the Muslims of our country, but yet he had the Muslims have a National Day of Prayer at the White House, and he wasn't worried about hurting the feelings of the Christian people. You see, there's something wrong in America today. We've tried to change the meaning of the Bible today. We've tried to pollute God's word today. We've tried to pollute God's church today. Churches today are giving over to all kinds of temptations. And I seem like I'm always hurting someone's feelings in here, but you know, I always try to preach the word. You know, we're not going to have in our church any gay deacons. It's just not fitting. We're not going to knowingly have any gay members. It's not what the Bible says. You do not let sin come into the church. You let sinners come into the church. The church is a place for sinners. We're all sinners. We need to be saved by grace. But you don't affect the body with sin, do you? Now, if someone's willing to come out of that sin, brother, I'm willing to have fellowship with them. It's the same way. I'm not going to knowingly allow someone to come in our church that lives a corrupt, sinful life. You just don't do that. There's no use exposing all the children and all the teaching to unholy doctrine and unholy ways. We've got to watch what we invite into our church, or God's church, rather. Yes, it is a place for sinners, and I'm always welcome sinners to come in here and listen to the Word of God. I believe Jesus Christ, He said, I came to save them which are lost. That's what He came for, to save the sinners. And that's what He calls us to do, preach to the sinners, preach the Word of God. But we're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And it doesn't make me any better than they are. I was just a sinner saved by grace, folks. And once they realize that and they come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, oh, what a change they make in their life. And we weaken the gospel with a mixture of everything under the sun today to make people feel good. But God says that we must be different from the world. You can't take a social gospel and make it acceptable to God. It just won't work that way. God says, this is my word. Stay with the word. And He says the priests are part of the problem. Salvation brings a change to one's life. So God says we must clean up. If we're going to have revival, we must clean up. We must get our act right in our church. The priests, they're the problem. He refers to all the religious leaders here. And then he said, look what he says in verse 27. The princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey. I don't know about you personally, but I think when it comes to what he's talking about here, princes is our political leaders. Boy, I feel like we've been sold out. in America by our political leaders. You know, I don't know who to vote for. I hear one man get up and say this and lie about this. You know, I just don't know. But the Lord said, this is what is wrong. You're being sold out as a nation. Our taxes are getting higher and higher, and where the leaders are spending money unworthy. And they say we need change, but that's about all I've got left anymore is change. I think I ought to have been bailed out a long time ago, but I didn't get anything. I applied for that bailout, but, you know, I didn't get that. Did any of y'all? I didn't think you did. You know, our politicians are for their political power and their own agenda and the power to not to benefit the citizens of America. They make all kinds of promises, I know. And they couldn't care less after they get your vote. Folks, I'm ready to go back to the family values. I'm ready to get back to what God says, the morals, to bring America back. And God says, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for someone that will actually do what he says he'll do. You know, God knows that we need a strong family in America. I believe when we broke up the family, then we broke up America. You see, we need to go back to family traditions and putting God first in our life and going to church and living that kind of life. But as long as we have people that's pushing their own agendas, it'll never work. How long will God allow this sin to continue in America today? Not long. Not very long. Some say if we don't change in the next 4 years, we're in for a real hurt. Well, we're already really hurting, if you'll just think about it. But that's what's wrong. It was what was wrong in Israel. The religious leaders are corrupt. The political princes are corrupt. And then look what it says in verse 28. The prophets again. Man, and he mentions the prophets twice. One is over in the first part of the scripture. He says the prophets. And then he says the prophets have plastered themselves with untempered martyr. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I kind of wish I could have just skipped over that. But God didn't skip over it. He mentions the prophets twice. The prophets have watered down the martyr. Now, what is the martyr? Y'all know what martyr is. Martyr is the things they put in to hold the bricks on the house together. They hold things together. Well, when you water the martyr down, what happens? The winds come and the rains come and the storms beat against the house and the martyr's washed out because it's been watered down. We have a lot of prophets today who have watered down the martyr. The martyr being the word of God. They have watered down the teachings of the counsel of the word of God. I told those gentlemen this week, here's what we've got to do. It's not Methodist. It's not Assembly of God. It's not Catholic. It's not Baptist. It's not whatever. Church of Christ. It's not that. It's the Word of God. We've got to lift up the Word of God. When you start denying the virgin birth, in which Baptists have in a lot of places, when you stop denying the sinlessness of Jesus Christ, which has in some places, when you stop talking about the resurrection, and we're coming upon the resurrection of Christ on the cross, you see, and dying and be putting in a tomb, and on the third day rising again, there's denominations and Baptist denomination that have denied that now and say, oh, he just fainted from all the vinegar and the crucifixion and he really didn't die. When you start denying all of that, then you weaken the martyr of the Word of God. And no wonder our families don't know where to turn to anymore. No wonder our churches are falling apart. When you deny all the doctrines that are in the Bible, what keeps the Bible together, the Word of God, when you change it around to fit or be politically correct, you water down the Word of God. And we all say, well, everything's all right. As long as it's not affecting my church, it is affecting your church. It's affecting the people's lives. And we got people in our churches today that just jump from one church to the other because they become dissatisfied. And they will jump into a church that don't even look at what the doctrine is. You see? They jump into churches that believe you're saved by works, that you're saved some other way than by faith. And the first thing you know, storms come along. By the way, over the next five Sunday nights, I'm going to preach on sufferings, why good people suffer. We're going to talk about the first one tonight, why we have suffering. And we have watered down messages and people that are hurt. And people don't know what the Word of God says about things in their life. And when the storm comes, they're like the Bible says. The winds and the waves beat against their foundation, their house. It's not on the right foundation, and they crumble and fall. I don't know about you, but I want a church that teaches the Word of God and stands on the Word of God. For let me tell you something. Life is tough. Life is hard, and you won't make it if you don't believe the Word of God. You won't stand up under the storms of life if you have a prophet, if you have a teacher that doesn't believe the Word of God. Man, somebody told me the other day, well, our preacher don't believe that. Well, what are you doing there? I'd be finding me another preacher. I'd be finding one that did believe that. What do you believe if you believe part of the Bible? Either it's all wrong or it's all right. You see, there can't be an in-between. Jesus says, and we need to believe it and trust Jesus Christ. Well, he says, the priests have fallen, the politicians have let the people down, and the prophets, they have divined lies. What is the problem? What is the problem? I'll tell you, sin is the problem. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God. Not only you will be affected as a leader of your house, but your children will be affected. You stop reading and believing the Word of God, and others around you will stop reading the Word of God. God says, thou shalt not, and if you obey that, you'll survive. If you disobey God's word, it will destroy you. He will not bless you. I tell you what, sin is a problem. Now let's look at the last thing I want us to see here. Verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and have wrongfully oppressed the stranger. The people of the land. Thank God he didn't stop with the pastors. He says, you also have a responsibility. You've exercised robbery. Where have we robbed God? I won't get into tithing today. Where have you mistreated the poor and the needy? He says, you've thought only of yourselves. Let me tell you something. I asked you last week in here, would you go and visit someone that didn't know Jesus and share Jesus with them? Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if I did, very few of you could raise your hand honestly and said, I have witnessed to somebody this week. Is that right? If you haven't, you've been thinking only of yourselves. How do you do that? You're saved. You have a cure for sin, and you've hidden it in your heart, and you're not letting it out. You're thinking of only, well, I'm saved. I'm secure. That's not what Jesus said. He said, go tell. Look what he says. And I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge or stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it. But he said, I found none. God says, I just want one man. He said, you don't have to have an education. You don't have to have a master's degree or a PhD. Any man would be sufficient. God said, I'm just looking for one man that will stand up for me inside of the church. One man who will say, this is going to be what I do. I'm going to serve God with all my heart. I'm going to pull myself out among the corrupt and stand up for God in my life. You see, there's a gap between man and God, isn't there? There's a sin between man and God. Sin has separated us. We're over here, God's over here. And he said, I'm looking for a man. Let me tell you why he didn't find any. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He didn't find any. So you know what God did? The Bible says he sent his own son to stand in the gap. He sent his own son for you and I. He sent his son. Not a politician, not a prophet, not one of the people. He said, but I sent my own son to die that you might have life. You see, sin is what separates us from God. In November, we have an election. None of them will be able to stand in the gap because they're just human. We won't find a man that can bring this nation back to God. It'll have to be all of us. Every one of us. It'll have to be you. It'll have to be me. It'll have to be our politicians. We'll all have to get on our face before God and say, Lord, we have sinned a great sin. We have sinned against you and you only. And Lord, we want revival in our life. There's not going to be any knight in shining armor to just come along and put us back together again. You know, we learned that old Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, set on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. We're Humpty Dumpty, and we've had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put us back together again. Only Jesus Christ. God said, I found none. I looked among the priests. I looked amongst the princes. I've looked amongst the prophets and the people, but there's not any. And he said, so therefore, I sent my only begotten son. Only Jesus Christ can save us today. We've got to get him back in our lives. Only Jesus can stand in the gap for you and I. Isaiah 1:18 says, he had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us all. If you want this nation to come back to God, you better take a stand for God and get your life right. America doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. Today. America doesn't want to come back today. We have turned our backs on God. Don't you and I do the same? Let's come back to God this morning. If you're here this morning and you are a sinner and you know you're a sinner and you need to come to Jesus Christ for salvation, you can't say, I know him. You're not sure if you died today you would go to spend eternity with him. Then you need to come to him. Just as you are, the song says. Just as you are. Fall on your knees before him and say, Lord, I'm willing to stand in the gap. I want to count for Jesus Christ today. God says, I'm looking for a man, and I found none. Well, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be that man that makes a difference in this church. Would you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that we have an opportunity. Oh, some people will tell you it's too late, but I don't believe it's too late until we see Jesus coming. Heavenly Father, I pray today that we will stand in the gap as a church, that we'll make a difference in our town. Lord, what one man can do in this town, what one church can do in this town, if we'll actually take a stand for what's right and not be swayed by the politicians and not be swayed by the liberal preachers. God, if we'll just take a stand and stand on the Word of God and your Word alone today, God, we can make a difference. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's looking for salvation, the Bible says it's in Christ Jesus. Would they come simply by faith saying, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And the Bible says, if any man come to me, I will no wise cast him out. Heavenly Father, I pray today for our members, Lord. If they're here and they want to make a stand for Jesus in their town, Lord, I pray today that they'll get their lives right before you. And Lord, if someone's looking for a church home and they haven't found a place that they feel like God's moving, Lord, I pray that you will send them our way. We give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.